Well, we won't be looking at... I don't even know what I'm looking at. James. Thank you. We won't be looking at that. Sorry. I was thinking Job for some reason, but it wasn't Job. Anyway, let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day. And Lord, as we stop and consider, Lord, this time when we remember our Saviour coming to this earth and being born so he can die, I do pray that, Lord, this story, this time will be a reminder for us of how we have all the answers that we need to this life in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think I'm going to have anyone disagree with me when I say that this has been a year like no other. For most of us, if not all, we've had so many changes to our life. Things that we never thought would be possible. Who would have thought that children that go off to school got to stay home for so long and did school talking to someone on a computer? Big change. If you worked in an office particularly, who would have thought you're allowed to stay home and work from home? You know, that's something you dream of and then you get forced to do it. Who would have thought that you weren't allowed to go to church? That was unthought of. And who would have thought that I would end up speaking on YouTube and having a YouTube channel, so to speak, and everyone sitting at home watching that? That blows my mind as well. Big changes. Scary changes. Who would have thought you weren't allowed to go visit your family or your friends, or that you'd have to wear a mask? Or for me, the thought of lockdowns in Australia up until this year seemed impossible. No way would anyone be able to enforce lockdowns. Yet it's sort of normal now. And with the spread of some of the virus in Sydney, well, they're talking about lockdowns, and that seems to be normal. And so there's been a lot of changes. And with all these changes and restrictions, there are two words that I have noticed being used a lot this year. The two words are fear and freedom. Fear and freedom. And this morning, I want to consider these two words and how the Christmas story actually gives us the answers to these two problems. The problem of fear and the problem of freedom and the desire for it. Now, looking at in regards to fear, it's a part of human nature to fear something that is new. There are doubts, there are unknowns, there are concerns when something is new, and so it produces a degree of fear. Anything new tends to bring a little bit of fear. And this year has been full of fear for many. The fear of catching COVID and dying has been on the mind and the lips of a lot of people. Fear of losing your job because of the restrictions. Or one, and that is the fear of things never going back to normal. That's been a fear for many as well. There have been a lot of reasons to fear, and there have been a lot of people that have been full of fear, especially for the last 10 months. But fear isn't a new thing. It's not something that we've just discovered. It's been around from the very beginning. We know that Adam and Eve feared God after they had sinned. But we can be sure that there was also a lot of fear on that very first Christmas as well. Some of the fear we're told about in God's Word, other fears we can just assume. I have no doubt that Mary had lots of fears that very first Christmas. Traveling to Bethlehem while you're heavily pregnant would have brought about certain types of fears, fears that I suspect only a woman who has been pregnant would understand. But I suspect the fear of, is the child going to be safe as we have to travel so far, would have been there. The fear, am I going to make it to Bethlehem, or am I going to have this have to have this baby on the side of the road somewhere, would have been there. The fear of where am I going to have this baby if it comes while we're at Bethlehem. There would have been a lot of fears. Joseph would have had some fears. Fear of protecting his wife and also the child-to-be as they travelled from robbers. What would have happened if someone tried to take their life? The fear of how will he care for them in a new town if the baby was to come. And that's just some of the fears that they would have had. Both of them would have had fears because of the journey. Yet we know that this was God's plan, don't we? This was God's idea. They're exactly where God wanted them to be. Even though that is the case, there were some things that would have caused some fear. Now, they're the things we can assume. Yet we're told of a couple of occasions where, because of this Christmas story, people feared. And two of the times had an unlikely source, and that was angels. You see, it doesn't have to be something bad to cause us to fear. Just something new, just something different, out of the ordinary, can bring some degree of fear. Turn over to Luke chapter 1, would you? We have this this commonly read passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, it says this: "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou hast conceived in thy womb, and bring forth, or thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." And so here we're told how Gabriel, the angel, is sent by God to Mary with this very exciting news. And so he appears to her, he tells her this exciting news, and what is her response? Excitement? No, she's troubled. She's scared at the news and what she is seeing, and so he needs to tell her, fear not. And although it seems scary for Mary, we know that God was in control. Yet it still caused her to fear. Now, once she had the baby, God wanted to share this great news. And if we turn to Luke chapter 2, we read there in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And so, even though this was an angel of God and he had great news, these shepherds were very afraid. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And if one angel made them very scared, they're about to get a lot scareder, because it says, "And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God," and so on. And so the angel appeared to these shepherds and they were afraid. But the reality was, this was God's plan and this was good news. God was still in control. And what I see from this is there are a lot of things that can scare us and bring fear. Even things that are actually good for us, but because they are new and different, we fear. And there is no doubt there's been this year a lot of changes and a lot of new things, and this has caused many people to fear, especially when you have the fear of death mixed in as well. But even though it's normal to fear changes and new things, the Christmas story reminds us that not everything that we fear is bad. Let's keep that in mind. Not every change and new thing needs to be scary. And even the new things that happen in this life, we can be sure that God is in control. If you go back then to those days and you asked, is God in control of all this mayhem around this Christmas time, although they didn't call it that, the great census, many would wonder, I don't know if God's in control of this. He was very much in control. And it's because we can know that he's in control that the writer of Hebrews, as he reminds us that God has said he will never leave us nor forsake us, he says, for this reason we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's the confidence that we have. As God's people, we don't have to fear. We know that God is in control. In fact, God tells us very clearly what we should be fearing, if we're going to fear anything. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, Jesus tells us not to fear man or really anything that can take our life from us, but we are to fear the one that has the power to take our life from us and then also destroy our soul in hell. That is eternal punishment. And who is this? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one who will cast the unbelieving into the lake of fire. And that's why we are told it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God says, if you're going to fear anything, fear me. And what will happen if you reject my Son and the salvation that he is offering? This is what the world should be fearing. But the good news is, because Jesus came and because he lived that sinless life and he died on that cross and took our punishment and then he rose again, if we believe this, admitting we're sinners and call upon him to save us, we can be saved, we can be cleansed, and we can be made the children of God. And so that what that means is we don't have to fear God as our judge, as the lost should, we can feel secure in the reality that he is our Father, who we can trust, and he's in control. And so because of the Lord Jesus, we don't need to fear COVID, change, even death, or eternity. Jesus is the solution to this problem of fear. And the Christmas story is a reminder, when things are changing and different and don't seem to be right, God's still in control. That's the first thing. But then there's the word freedom that's been mentioned quite a lot. And there is no doubt that people are talking about freedom and having and the understanding that their freedoms have been taken away. And none of us like having our freedoms taken away. I didn't like it, and I got to come to church still, but it wasn't. I came to the building, but I didn't meet the people which is you. I miss coming to see the church. None of us like being told you can't go to church. None of us like being told or having the freedom to visit your family or friends taken away from you. Most wouldn't like the idea that you can't go interstate. I'm not too fussed about going interstate these days, but I'm sure everyone else is upset that they can't come to Victoria. You know, it's a very sad thing. All right? The liberty to be able to go to the shop without a mask, that's a freedom. that I didn't like having taken away. Freedom and the desire for it has been on the lips of most this year. But if you consider the first Christmas, we don't have to doubt that the desire for freedom was on the minds and the lips of the Jewish nation at that time as well. They were not a free people. They were under Roman rule, and they were heavily controlled, and they were severely punished with floggings and crucifixion. We haven't got to that state that yet, all right? To have a flogging or a crucifixion because you didn't wear your mask. It may be coming, all right? But it's not here yet. Yet that was a reality for them. In fact, the only reason why, if you take God out of the picture, why Joseph and Mary was traveling when she was great with child was because the Roman government made a rule that they had to go there. This was a very inconvenient rule made by the government, you could say. Far more inconvenient than the rules that we have had laid on us. And the Jewish people at this time were looking for a Savior, a Messiah, someone that would bring them freedom, just like many people are wanting their freedom today. But the Jews, just like many Aussies today, they weren't looking for the same type of freedom that God wanted to bring them when He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews wanted their Savior to bring them freedom from the Roman rule and all their restrictions. But God knew that they had a greater need than that. They needed freedom from their sin. And so He sent the Savior to free them from the punishment and the power of sin that was upon them. Yet we know that most of them weren't interested in this type of freedom. They were too focused on getting the temporary freedom that they thought their Messiah was going to bring. Freedom from the rules and the restrictions that the Romans had placed on them. And because of this, because they were focused on wanting the wrong type of freedoms, they missed the Savior, most of them. And they missed what He was offering to them because of this. And nothing has changed today. Most today are more interested in their temporary freedom. And they aren't interested in the freedom that God wants to give through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to get very cranky if somehow some ministers can twist this, that Jesus can bring freedom from restrictions from the government or whatever, and they miss the real reason why He came, like they're very good at missing. But the Christmas story tells us how God sent His Son so we can enjoy a far greater freedom than from government rules. Jesus came and He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a sinless life. He died on that cross and took our punishment, and then He rose again, and He did this so we can be free from sin's punishment and then sin's power and then one day, ultimately, sin's presence as well. And those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be free. And that's why Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And although we may not like the government restrictions that we've had, still lingering, and even though trusting Christ as your Savior doesn't free you from those restrictions, just like the believers in Christ's day or after Christ, they didn't get freedom from the Roman restrictions as well, we still can rejoice because of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and how He has brought freedom from our greatest problem. As Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." Everyone talks about liberty. "But stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." But this is free from sin and its bondage, because it goes on and says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, what Jesus did, he brought us the ability to be able to be free to live how God wants us to live. We're not bound by sin. We are free to live a righteous life through his power. And there's no doubt we've all been frustrated by the lack of freedoms that have been forced upon us this year. Let's make sure, though, we don't let these things make us forget how much we need to give thanks for. We can get so caught up like those Jews of that day, they missed the reason Jesus came. That there was freedom from their greatest need, their greatest bondage, and that is sin. And that's found in the Lord Jesus. We can rejoice in our Savior. You see, Jesus took our punishment so we can be free from sin's punishment. Jesus was bound in hell and then rose again so we can be free from the bondage of sin's power. And then he ascended up into high, knowing, telling us how we one day will be with him so we can be free from sin's presence as well. And it is all because of Jesus. And yes, we've talked about fear and freedom a lot this year. Maybe we've talked too much and we've missed what we have in Christ. But the Christmas story reminds me that in Jesus our Savior, these two problems of fear and freedom are solved. We don't have to fear. We can trust him because he is in control, just like he was in control that first Christmas time. And we can praise him that we are free from sin's punishment, sin's power, and one day sin's presence. You know that last song that was sung that I am going to get you to come and sing again? Some of the words are, long lay the world in sin and error pining. The world was in bondage to sin. Pining. What for? For the Savior. Because it goes on and says, till he appeareth. We were pining for the Savior. Jews got it wrong. They wanted a Savior that will bring freedom from the wrong bondage. But he brought freedom from sin. And that's why that song goes on to say, fall on your knees. We should worship him for this. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. That's what reminds me of the Christmas story. That we don't need to fear. And we have our freedom already. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all the needs that we have in this life are found in the Lord Jesus, in his word, and in his work. And we want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.